Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, recently appeared on Will Smith's Snapchat show, Will From Home, to answer some children's questions. A kid named Eva wanted to know if the Tooth Fairy would still come even with the coronavirus around and was worried about the Tooth Fairy catching the coronavirus. Here's what Dr. Fauci had to say.
I got to tell you, Eva, I don't think you need to worry about the Tooth Fairy. So when you get your tooth fall out, you stick it under the pillow, and I'll guarantee you that Tooth Fairy is not going to get infected and is not going to get sick.
While the Tooth Fairy may not seem like a main character in the big picture scenario, our next guest says the Tooth Fairy should be considered an essential worker in a child's world, and the tradition has a long history. Brandon Barker is an assistant professor of folklore and affiliate faculty in cognitive science at Indiana University Bloomington. He specializes in American folklore, especially in the southern states and children's folklore. He wrote the book Folk Illusions, Children, Folklore, and Sciences of Perception, and he wrote a piece, The Tooth Fairy as an Essential Worker in a Child's World of Wonder, for The Conversation. Brandon, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, really happy to be here.
Well, losing a tooth, it's an important milestone for kids, and the Tooth Fairy makes it more magical to a child. Why is the Tooth Fairy so important for kids?
Well, I think the Tooth Fairy really helps kids come to understand themselves in the context of, you know, the expressive world, the culture in which kids grow up. So we have this phrase that we use in the Folk Illusions book, which is we hear about language acquisition a lot. And we know that kids are acquiring their language by the age of five. They've got their grammar and they can speak the language correctly, properly. We're also they're acquiring their understanding of their own bodies. So starting at about the age of four until about the age of 12, kids lose, they shed their deciduous teeth, and they'll be replaced, of course, with adult teeth. But what exactly that biological process means is relegated by the culture in which they come up. And in the instance of the American, you know, Tooth Fairy, kids get to have a magical moment with their parents, with their caretakers, when they take the tooth, which is, of course, been shed and hide it under the pillow, and a magical creature akin to Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny shows up overnight and replaces their hard work in creating a tooth that they've lost with a bit of money.
You mentioned the American Tooth Fairy. Now, not every culture has the Tooth Fairy, but a lot of different cultures have their own rituals surrounding those lost baby teeth. Can you share a couple of those with us?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, deciduous tooth loss and the shedding of teeth is associated with rites of passage or customs across cultures. And it has been for many centuries throughout Oceania, Asia, Europe. Kids in different places might take the tooth, and if it's a tooth from the bottom of the mouth, they'll throw it on the roof and ask the powers that be to bring them a stronger tooth in replacement. In Europe, Spanish-speaking cultures, in France, the tooth is hidden sometimes on the floor, sometimes under the pillow, and kids will ask a magical mouse to come in and replace their tooth for them. The idea being, from the context of folklore, that some kind of sympathetic magic. You see, mice and rats, their teeth constantly grow, and they're always strong. So maybe the kid's second tooth, or adult tooth, will be strong just like the rat's tooth.
Now, there's a strain in American culture that prizes rationality, and some people might think, well, wait, am I lying to my kids by talking about, you know, something that seems supernatural? Is it okay to just let it go and have that moment of magic?
I think absolutely it's okay. And as a matter of fact, it's probably unstoppable. Folklorists say that we study expressive culture, that is, as opposed to instrumental or practical culture. And as a matter of fact, expressive culture is, to my mind, where often we find meaning. Things like happiness and identity are closely associated with the traditions of expressive culture that we grow up in. So I think during these times, when everything practical and instrumental is being challenged by the situation with COVID-19, the fact that we're still able to celebrate in the expressive cultures that come to us with our use is hugely important and will make them continue to feel safe and, well, happy.
I know the Tooth Fairy can take different forms, even in different households. And I know I just saw a letter from my niece to the Tooth Fairy asking, hey, can I keep the tooth when you're done with it? Is it fun that a lot of us invent our own traditions related to a figure like the Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, it's sort of a misnomer that tradition is stagnant. Or tradition comes to us and it doesn't change. As a matter of fact, contemporary theories of what folklore is, dating from about the 1960s, say to us that folklore isn't folklore, or traditions aren't traditions, unless they are constantly being updated and maintained, changed, and tweaked for current purposes. A really good example is if tradition tells us that the tooth fairy takes the tooth, but the night of, our child has just lost her first tooth, doesn't really want to part with it. Of course, we can tweak the tradition, keep the tooth, maybe compose a letter, or maybe the tooth fairy will leave a letter letting the child know that they've decided to give them the tooth and they can keep it. We're constantly updating traditions in these ways.
And we started with that question from a kid to Dr. Anthony Fauci, and he took it very seriously, I think. Can you talk about the value of, you know, listening for that sign of anxiety in a kid about something like the tooth fairy or other tradition?
Yeah, so I would say that in the adult's mind, certainly in this 21st century American moment, the separation between the instrumental and the expressive is easily recognizable. But we have to recognize that the separation between the expressive and the instrumental is not easily recognizable for children. As a matter of fact, the expressive is just as important, if not more cherished, by the child. And the child has a genuine concern about the practicality of whether or not the tooth fairy will be able to visit them after the tooth is lost. So I think that, you know, if we want to empathize with the child's situation and recognize that expressive and instrumental aren't existing in some kind of division of importance, then absolutely, we want to treat it just as importantly as Dr. Fauci is treating the rest of his concerns surrounding the virus.
Brandon, very interesting. Thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I've been talking to Brandon Barker, assistant professor of folklore and affiliate faculty in cognitive science at Indiana University, Bloomington. He joined us to talk about a piece he wrote for The Conversation titled The Tooth Fairy as an Essential Worker in a Child's World of Wonder.